All right. Good morning to you. We're glad that you are here today. Guess what? It's Christmas time, right? Everybody's been complaining about Walmart that's had their Christmas decorations out since July 21st. It's officially past Thanksgiving, so now it's okay to get in the Christmas holiday spirit. Are you in the Christmas spirit yet? Yeah, I think that you should be when you come in here. Doesn't this look nice in here? This morning, everything looks so great. Thanks to everybody who helped decorate. This is beautiful. Great symbol of this holiday season. I love Christmas time. Matter of fact, let me ask you, what's your favorite Christmas holiday movie? Okay, when I actually ask that, you can actually respond to me. You can actually talk in church. What's your favorite holiday movie? It's a Wonderful Life. I love It's a Wonderful Life. We actually have a remastered, colorized version of It's a Wonderful Life. Listen, you can hear the bell ring, right? An angel just got his wings. I love It's a Wonderful Life. What else? Frosty the Snowman, one of my all-time favorites as well. That's right. Who else? Elf. I love Elf. Matter of fact, you know, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that I still talk about It's a Wonderful Life as my favorite Christmas movie just because I'm a Christian. But you know, over a hamburger somewhere, I might tell you that, man, Elf is right up there. I love Elf. Matter of fact, this past week while we were celebrating Thanksgiving with our kids, we watched Elf on the TV, and I just absolutely love that movie. Matter of fact, here I wrote down while I was watching it, here's my favorite three quotes from Elf. Okay, my favorite quote is when he's in the department store and somebody says, "Hey, Santa's coming tomorrow." Do you remember what he says? "Santa, I know him." Right? Don't you just love that? It's like one of the greatest moments at Christmas every year when he says that. Or this one. Don't you just love it when he gets to New York? If you haven't seen the movie, Buddy the Elf goes to New York to meet his father. He never met his father. He was raised as an elf at the North Pole, and he was 6'6" and finally found out that he really wasn't an elf. So he went to New York City, and he's walking down the street in New York City, and he sees this sign, you know, and the sign says, "World's Best Coffee." And what does he do? He barges into the coffee shop, and he says, "Congratulations, you did it." And everybody's just kind of looking at him the way you're looking at me right now, you know? But it's like one of these great times. And here's my favorite one, though, my favorite one. And he says this 3 or 4 times in the movie. In telling his story, he says, "I passed through the 7 levels of the candy cane forest, through the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops, and then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel." Right? That's how he got to New York City. But I just love that movie, and I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. Great holiday season. It's going to be beautiful here. We got lots of stuff planned. December the 14th at 6 o'clock. You want to make sure that you're here for that special program that evening. Christmas Eve is always special here at First Church. And this year is going to be great because always before we've had to think about like space and where we're going to put everybody. We always had an overflow section for so many people because everybody couldn't get in here. Well, guess what? We can put like 700 chairs up in here so we can accommodate. Let's see, 2,100 people. You impressed that I could do that quickly? That is correct, isn't it? Anyway, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. You don't want to miss one of those. It's a great way to introduce family and friends, not only to the ministry of First Church, but to the Lord himself. Because I'm telling you, they're going to hear the Christmas story on that Christmas Eve. So bring them out. There's my commercial for Christmas. Everybody watch It's a Wonderful Life and Elf this Christmas season. We've been talking about what do I believe. We spent several weeks, 10 weeks actually, talking about that. Lots of different subjects that we brought up about that. A couple weeks ago, we actually transitioned, started talking about what should I do, about spiritual disciplines of a believer. We've talked about worship and prayer and Bible study. And today I want to change gears and I want to ask you, if you had one job to do, how well would you do it? I don't know if you've seen this. This is actually a kind of a phenomenon on the internet right now. They have these pictures. They're called one job. In other words, if you had one job to do, how well would you do it? In other words, if your job was to put the graphic on a T-shirt for Asia, how good of a job would you do? I mean, would you be able to get that right? Now, those of you that aren't laughing, you need a geography lesson, okay? Right? I mean, if your one job was to do that, how about if your one job was to take the two panels for a billboard and make sure that you put the correct panel on the correct side, okay? And you put the panels up on the billboard, and then you step back down on the street, and you're thinking, wait a minute, that looks weird. There's something wrong with that. What did I do there? If that was your one job, how well would you do it? Or how about this? If some contractor hired you and he told you, here, go put this railing up over here on this stairwell, how good a job would you do? Would you do a better job than this? Or if you were going to paint the straight line down the middle of the street, would you do a really good job at that? You know, it's like, what's this guy looking at, right? Can you imagine driving down this street and you're like, whoa, I don't know. I didn't see a curve, but something happened there. What was that? Or this is my favorite, actually. If your job was to put the paper dispenser in the stall of the bathroom, here, take this in and put it on the wall. Okay, and it's like, could you come and help me in the back? I can't reach the paper dispenser, right? Oh my, oh my God, I love that. Here's the thing, folks. As a Christian, we should be single-minded. We should have in our mind and our heart exactly what God wants us to be. Think about it. If God puts you here for one thing, what is that one thing? And how well are you doing that one thing? I mean, if being a Christian is all about this, how well are you doing this? Because when you think about it, God's word has a lot to say about how focused that we should be as believers and single-minded. I'll give you a great example of this. Just this past week, Arlene and I, we went and visited our kids. And, of course, we have this new grandson, Jack. And he just loves me, by the way. And when we got there, you know, we were there for Thanksgiving for a couple days. And it was like, he went to bed at 8 o'clock at night. He got up at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm always up by then, and I'm up drinking coffee, and it's like, oh, it's 6:25. I wonder if Jack's up yet. And I want to go in. I sneak in. I look into his room, and as soon as I hear him make a peep, it's like, oh, good morning, Jack. It's Pappy. I'll change your diaper. I'll get you ready for your mother. And, it was just like in the morning, the first thing I thought about, I wonder if Jack's awake. Oh, shucks, it's time for Jack to go to sleep. Oh, you need somebody to hold Jack? I'll hold Jack. It was like my whole life was just about wanting to be available for him. Now, I know when he's 6 months or 5 months old, that's pretty cool. When he gets to be 16, I don't know how cool that's going to be, okay? When he's wanting my wallet and my keys to my car, right? But single-minded, focused, only one thing matters as believers. That's the kind of life that we live. Each week we share a key idea. Here's today's key idea. I focus on God and His priorities for my life. You know, every week when I read that key idea to you and with you, I ask you to repeat it back with me. Now, I'm not going to ask you to repeat it back with me yet because I just want you to realize how difficult it is to repeat this one. I focus on God and His priorities for my life. Do you? You know, because that's a tough one to say. Because we're talking about being focused on our faith in Jesus Christ. Being single-minded in what God wants us to be about in life. And you can't just say this key idea very easily. But I want you to. Say it with me, would you? I focus on God and His priorities for my life. Listen to this verse. The key verse is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, that's about focus. But so many times, because of our sinful nature, because of our fleshly nature, a lot of times we get off track. We lose sight. We often start an endeavor of following Christ with this wonderful laser-like focus, but then we lose it so easily. We tend to think about God as being a cosmic Santa Claus that we expect to fulfill our every wish. And that makes life about us, but life is not about us. Life is about Him. Life is not about our will. Life is about us fulfilling His will. That's what Matthew 6:33 says. It inspires us. It challenges us to be fully submitted in our relationship to God. That when we get up during the day, our to-do list, if you will, is what He wants us to do. You know, our thoughts when we go through our day is what He wants us to think about. Trusting in Him will be our absolute desire for that day. But think about this, folks. That happens when we have this laser-like focus, this single-mindedness to seek His kingdom and to seek His righteousness. But here's the thing that I think is really intriguing about this passage. He said, if we have that kind of laser-like focus, that single-mindedness, that we seek Him and we seek His righteousness, what does it say? It says, in all these things. Have you ever wondered what that means? Okay, I want you to just take a minute and get out a piece of scratch paper, and I want you to make a list of what you think all these things are, right? I mean, what's Jesus talking about? If we have this laser-like focus, if we have this single-mindedness, thinking about Him, thinking about His righteousness, seeking Him before anything else, what are these things that he will give us? Well, He kind of gives us a hint in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Laser-like focus. But here's the thing. You can't understand what He means by these things until you understand the context of this verse. Let me read you the surrounding verses before and after this verse. He says in verse 25, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Think about this, folks. Jesus is letting us know that He is well aware of what we need. Now notice His list and our list might differ. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Okay? I mean, our list might be expanded much more beyond that. I had a neat experience the other day. Our girls are... they're at this point in life now where it's really a blessing to Arlene and I because they have jobs. You know, matter of fact, they have pretty good jobs. And I was sitting in the living room at my daughter's and our youngest daughter, Kristen. She said, Dad, what would you like for Christmas? Now, up until this moment in time, when that question is asked of me, I've always said, you know what, honey, I don't need anything. You know, I just want to be around you guys. You know, all this kind of stuff. But this year, when Kristen asked me, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I'm thinking, she's got a job. Her husband's got a job. Maybe I can up the ante just a little bit. And I made the obligatory reference to not needing anything. And she's like, no, Dad, I'm really serious. What do you want? And I finally said to her, I said, you know what, honey? Buy me a dozen golf balls. She said, oh, okay. And I said, no, wait a minute. I don't want just any golf ball. I want a dozen Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. Now, I don't know if you play golf. It's the most expensive ball there is. And I asked for it unashamedly. Right? Why? Because she has a job. Sometimes I think we do that in life. We think about things that we want or think about things that we need in light of our ability to buy them or produce them or the ability of the person that's going to buy them for us. We think this is what I want, this is what I need because this is what I have the ability to buy or purchase, or this is what my loved one or friend can buy or purchase. But when Jesus said these things, he was not meaning Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. But what he was saying was that he would take care of us. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? You see, dependence on him is a prerequisite to single-mindedness. You see, that's why he says in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus knows that a single-minded person will live each day yielded to the will of God and to the direction of God and to the leading of God's Spirit. And he modeled for us time and time again what that looks like in life. And you see, folks, we need to understand that when he said these things, he wasn't saying an unlimited list of whatever you want for Christmas. He was saying the things that you really need to live a single-minded, focused life on him will be ours. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Here's the question. I love this question. I put this up here because it's so very crucial. How often does Jesus come to mind? I mean, your mind. In other words, here's another way to ask. How often do you think about God? I mean, how often does the life of Christ pop in your head? How often do you think about the creator of the universe, his son Jesus Christ, and what he did for you? You know what? If we were really honest, there would be some of us here today that would say, you know what? I very rarely think about Jesus. Now, when I go to church and they bring him up, or Ross, we sing about him, or I go to a, you know, that we talk, but very, I'm talking about in your life, when you wake up in the morning, when you're at work, when you're doing whatever you do, how often does Jesus come to your mind? You see, because sometimes Jesus only comes to our mind when we say, Jesus, why? Why is this happening to me? You know, we go through tough times. We get a bad diagnosis. We have difficulties in our home or our family. You know, we fall off a cliff and we're hanging by a little twig. And we cry out to God. And God and Jesus, they come to our mind. We're saying, why am I going through this? A lot of times, that's the only time that people think about Jesus, when they have questions about why. Or Jesus come to people's mind when they have the question of how. God, how do I overcome this? How do I get through this? How do I achieve this? But in reality, when you have a single-minded focus on God and what he is to you, he comes to your mind all the time. You know, I mean, you see a sunrise and you think, wow, God, thank you for that. Or will you go somewhere else? Whatever you do, wherever you are during your day, how often does Jesus come to your mind? And I hope that today when you think about this passage of seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness, I hope that you are challenged to allow him to come to your mind much more often. So here's the thing, and I'm anticipating your question, okay? I'm anticipating your question of it being, you know, Pastor John, okay, I understand how important it is that we're single-minded, that we're focused on God and on His goodness and what He's done for us, but how do I do that? How do I remain, and how do I keep that kind of focus? Well, let me give you some pointers here. Here's the first thing. Remember who's who. Remember who's who. Now, I'm not talking about who's who is in some kind of academic honor or degree. What I'm encouraging you to do here is to remember who's God and you're not. And remember who's God, who's the creator, and who isn't. Okay? Remember who you are and remember who God is. Because a lot of times when we're talking about this kind of single-minded focus is that people get this mixed up. People seem to think that, you know what, I'm God. They look at God as some kind of cosmic Santa Claus who's just there to hear our request and to grant us whatever we want. You know, a few years ago, I've regretted doing this. I don't do it anymore. But one Christmas, this little kid came out the door, and boy, they were all decked out in their Christmas stuff, and they were so excited about Christmas and everything. And just on a whim, and the parents were with this little person, just on a whim, I said to the little boy, I said, "Hey, sweetheart," I said, "Hey, buddy, I talked to Santa Claus, and he said, you're getting everything that you want. Don't worry about it." And as he went out, he's like, "Yes!" And his dad's like, "Thanks a lot." I mean, sometimes we interject ourselves into places that we shouldn't. And when it comes to this thing, I mean, so many times we just need to remember, listen, He's God and I'm not. It helps you keep your focus. Here's the second thing. How do you keep your focus? Make sure that you consult the blueprint. You know, we said last week you know, living a life that pleases God without reading the Bible is like building a skyscraper without a blueprint, right? And it is so true. But every day, we need to make sure that we are consulting the Word of God. A minute ago, I asked you, how often do you think about Jesus? Okay? It needs to be a lot more. Same is true here. How often do you get into the Word? It needs to be a lot more. You know, dear friend of mine here just last week when we were talking about this, he said, "Pastor John, I'll be honest with you, I don't read the Bible very much." And it's like, and then he said, "But when I do," he said something to the effect of, "things are always a lot better." I said, "No, wait a minute, you're an exact illustration of exactly what I'm talking about. You know, if you're saying, okay, I don't read the Bible very often, but when I do, things really seem to make more sense. Things seem to go better. Shouldn't your next statement be, therefore, I'm going to read the Bible more often?" Right? If the benefit from that is something that is good. And you're just not going to be able to remain your focus without remembering who's who, without consulting the blueprint, without going back to the Word of God. And then the third thing is how to keep your focus is this idea about priorities. Priorities, priorities, priorities. Here's the thing. A lot of times when people become a Christian, they're convinced their priorities should be God, family, job, on down the line. Always should be God, and family should be the top priorities. And we say that, but then there's a time when we need to revisit those priorities. Okay? In other words, you set the priorities, and then you come back and you say, "How am I doing? How are my are they still the way they should be?" You need to set your priorities and then examine your priorities and then reset your priorities. Because here's what happens. You always have this drift. You always have this erosion. You always have this weathering of your faith. And unless you're on top of making sure that drift doesn't happen, unless you make sure that erosion isn't happening or that weathering isn't taken care of, you will find yourself losing ground in this area of life. You see, folks, Jesus knows that a single-minded person will live every day with this wonderful devotion to God and to his kingdom. Have you ever heard the old saying, you can have your cake and eat it too? Or you can't have your cake and eat it too? You know, that's true in almost every situation of life, except in this situation. Because once we surrender to God, we receive an abundant life here and we get eternal life in heaven. So we get our cake and we get to eat it too. But we have to remain singularly focused on him. You know, I had a friend the other day that posted this saying on Facebook, and I've been chewing on this ever since I saw this. And this is what he said. Look, he wrote, he said, do you believe what you read, or do you read what you believe? Now, he didn't explain that on this post, but I think I know what he's getting at. And I think it's something that you and I need to make sure that we understand and we realize as well. Here's the thing. Do you go to God's Word and believe what you read, or do you take your beliefs to it and read your beliefs there? You see the difference? Do we believe what we read, or do we read what we believe? You see, the difference in those two statements is whether or not you have that kind of laser kind of focus on him. Let me tell you something, folks. There's not a one of us here this morning that doesn't need to repent of not doing this to the point that we should. There is none of us here today that are as focused, that are as single-minded as we need to be about God and about his son Jesus and about what they want to do in our life. So here's the thing, folks. Just as your pastor and as all of us here today, as family and friends and people in this wonderful community of faith that we call First Church, let's just make our commitment today that we are going to be focused, that we are going to be single-minded, that Jesus Christ is our example, and we are going to live this way. Because let me tell you something. When you live this kind of single-minded, focused life, it is a wonderful thing. But when we allow ourselves to drift, when we allow our faith to erode, when we allow our experience in God to be weathered by the storms of life, we don't mean for it to happen, but all of a sudden, we wake up and we realize that not only have I not thought about Jesus very often lately, I'm a long way from where God wants me to be. So let's make our commitments. Let's make sure that we are understanding that we're not God, that he is, that we're visiting his blueprint, the Bible, each and every day, that we are making our priorities, examining our priorities, refocusing our priorities, that we're understanding that a great place to start is by putting God first in everything in life, and then making sure that we keep him there. You see, folks, pursuing God is the first thing before anything else. But it must become a clear mission statement and a mission for all of us. And when we accomplish that, I'll guarantee you that we will not only enjoy life more, but that God can use us to share his message of love and grace and mercy with others. You know, in his book, Randy Frazee tells a wonderful story about a young 18-year-old girl named Katie. Katie was from Brentwood, Tennessee, and she traveled to Uganda for the first time. When she went there, she had no idea what God had in store for her life. She had no idea that this mission trip was going to change her life forever, that it was going to allow her to have this razor-sharp focus in this small corner of the world. In 2007, Katie returned to Uganda to teach kindergarten. to teach kindergarten in an orphanage, and she was surprised by the number of children sitting on the side of the road or working in the fields, and there was no government help. There was no government-run public schools in the area where she was living. Most schools were privately operated, and they required fees for attendance, making it unfathomable for children, many children in that area, to get an education. But she began a child sponsorship program, and she matched orphan children with sponsors to provide education funding, to provide school supplies and daily hot meals and spiritual discipline and medical care. By 2008, 1 year later, Katie had brought 150 kids into the program. To date, over 600 children are now in her care. She's also started a program in an adjoining community that feeds more than 1,200 children. They all receive schooling, medical care, Bible study, health, and training. And here's my point. Every great thing that you see somebody doing in the name of their faith in God is because of their single-minded and laser focus. And the only obstacle that you and I have to doing great things for God is that very same thing. So let's be focused. Let's be single-minded. Let's do as the Word says, to take delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of His heart. And may we honor Him with that kind of devotion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray today that we would be energized to really, really live for You, Lord. God, I pray for the people in this room. I pray, Lord, for the great things, not just good things, but for the great things that You want to do through us when we become single-minded and laser-focused in our devotion to You. God, may we know that when we are lukewarm, that we are repulsive to You. But Lord, when we are red hot, that God, You can use us to burn away the impurities of this life. So Father, I pray for every person in this room that we would be able to set our priorities and refocus those priorities every day, Lord, to remain faithful and true to You. Father, may it happen as we sing this awesome song about our devotion to You, and may it encourage us, Lord, to live for You each and every day that we have. In Jesus' holy name, amen.